And that's why we're here, God. We want to give you praise. We want to thank you, God, because you are our helper in the time of trouble. You are our Savior, oh God. We give you praise, Lord, for the help and the strength that you give us, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. That feels good, doesn't it? Whew. Amen. Well, thank you, and you may be seated. God is so good. And Amber was saying this is a new series. I thought I was the last one of an old series. Well, anyway, whatever. Here we are. And I tell you what, though, I have enjoyed the ladies' teaching in Bible class. We had the sessions for the ladies, about ladies, and every one of the ladies did just phenomenal. And I really appreciate the word that they have given us. And I have been given the subject of the Proverbs 31 woman. And, of course, we know that the focus verse would be Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And it's a lengthy lesson text. So if you will just look on the board, or else just listen. I will read it from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 30. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Is anybody feeling tired yet? She does everything. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to her ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen to his word. But the focus thought would be the virtuous woman is kind. She's loving, generous, honorable, trustworthy, wise, industrious, strong, and she's also fearless. So tonight we're going to teach about the Proverbs 31 woman, better known as the virtuous woman. But the more I got to study in this lesson, the more I felt that I wanted to come at it at a slightly different angle than the lesson that was given to me. And Brother Spa so generously helped me and encouraged me in this direction by even sharing some notes that he had. So tonight, I would like to look at the Proverbs 31 woman, not as a particular woman mentioned in the Old Testament, but as the bride of Christ. And this would include us all, women and men. None of us are left out. The Proverbs 31 woman is not a real person, but it's rather an example of the bride of Christ. It's an illustration of what all the wisdom contained in the book of Proverbs looks like when it's applied to a life and also its effect on others. It's not a book that's just to be read. It's a book to be applied, as the whole Bible is meant to be. While it is something to strive for, it's not something that we can attain overnight. It's consistently living for God day in and day out. First of all, let's go back and look at the very first verse of this chapter. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Lemuel means for God or devoted to God. It most likely was a nickname that Solomon had been given by his mother. And evidently, he was fine with that, being called Lemuel instead of Solomon, because he here in this verse opens up this chapter. The words of King Lemuel. But in chapter 31, Solomon is telling us the things that his mother taught him. While back in chapter 4 of Proverbs, he talks about the things that his father had taught him. But as we read through this chapter, we find that his mother was boldly warning him of the dangers of life. After all, isn't that what mothers do? Beware of sinful companions. Beware of strong drink. Beware of temptations to disobey God's word. Over and over, she was trying to instill in him good principles. She wanted to make sure that her son grew up to be a man of character. And character is built on good life principles. In order to be a strong, dependable bridge, construction begins with pylons. Pylons are long, slender columns of steel or reinforced concrete that are driven way down deep into the ground in order to carry a vertical load. So principles in our lives are like the pylons on which you build bridges. Those principles go way down deep in our soul and in our life, and they help us to have a firm foundation. We need the principles of God's word if we expect to have a successful life. But first of all, let's look at some of the values of the woman in Proverbs 31. First of all, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Rubies are varieties of the mineral corundum. It's a very hard mineral that comes in many different forms and in many different degrees of clarity. It is the second hardest mineral after what? Diamonds, exactly. Actually, rubies are much more rare, and they're more valuable than diamonds. Rubies are mentioned in the Bible more than diamonds. They are so rare that they're only found two places in this world, Southern Asia and Eastern Africa. But they are formed way, way deep into the earth's crust, anywhere from 6 to 18 miles deep. That's deep. But they're way down there. It's what's happening. There's high temperatures that are going on. There's pushing. There's movement. There's struggle. And that's how rubies are formed, in this heat and in the depths of the earth's crust. They are formed and then they rise to the top. Rubies are rare and they're strong. And guess what? We, the bride of Christ, are strong in the Lord. And we are a rare commodity in this world. Solomon said, who can find a virtuous woman? Well, virtuous woman is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. 2 in the book of Proverbs, and then once in the book of Ruth, where Boaz was talking to Ruth, saying that she was a virtuous woman and the whole town knew it. But God has likened his bride to one who has strength and power and substance. It's a strong church. Where does that strength come from? Well, that's kind of a silly question because we know it's not in ourselves. We know it comes from him. Habakkuk 3:19 says, "The Lord God is my strength." Psalm 61 and 2 says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." He is our rock. He's who we're grounded in. We're buried with him, and the storms of life come and the pressures of life, but all the time he's molding us and making us into a beautiful, rare jewel. The natural minerals are formed in the deep of the earth and then rise to the top as his bride. The pressures of this life are molding us and making us into rare gems, and we're going to rise to the top and shine bright for him. How many of you know life can be hot? It can be pressing. It doesn't even always have to be fair, but that's life. But you know what? It doesn't affect us negatively because the bride is strong. We don't break under those pressures. Rather, we bow our knees to the one who can help us. And it's when we bow, it's when we are becoming more and more like him. We're allowing his grace and the fruit of his spirit to be formed within us. We're becoming that jewel through his help. And we mustn't complain about the pressures of or the heat because they're working something good in us. In our flesh, we'd like to complain, woe is me, you know. But you know what? It's not about us. It's about him, and he's had us created for our purpose, and he's working on that purpose each and every day. Everything that we ever have to go through, it has come through him, and he's working that for our good. As the victorious bride, we have to be resolute, firm, and steady in his word and his ways. God, I may not understand this trial, but I trust you. I know you've brought it my way for a reason. Those are the things that put us far above rubies. So let's look for a few minutes at some of the qualities of the bride. Qualities equal character. Character is expressed as one of the attributes that distinguish an individual. Moral excellence or firmness. Somebody, you might say they have good character or they lack character. But character, we are known. It distinguishes us as an individual. A person's character is the key to a successful and happy life. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar or a purchased people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." As his bride, we should be kind and loving and generous and trustworthy and wise and strong and on and on. But these qualities in us are what make us shine in this dark world that we're living in. I thank God that I am part of the bride of Christ, don't you? Amen. Another meaning of the word virtuous is noble. Nobility in a traditional sense is something that one is born into or marries into. Perfect example that was just a few weeks ago was the marriage of Prince Henry and Meghan Markle. He was born into nobility, but she has married into it. He made vows to provide and to protect her, and in return, she will seek ways to please him. One of those ways is she's made a lot of changes. A lot of changes. She now is told what she can wear in a particular situation. She's told how to dress, how to act, how to look, how to carry herself, things to do, things not to do. It's a whole new life for her. But one of the major changes, she gave up her citizenship to the United States. She is no longer a U.S. citizen. But when we become the bride of Christ and marry into nobility, we gladly give up our old citizenship, don't we? We are required to make changes in regards to who we associate and what we look like, how we dress, how we talk, how we act. But that's okay. It's part of being his bride. We get to make those commitments. We get to make those in order to please him. Every new bride wants to please her husband in the natural, and the husband wants to please his wife. And that's the same way it is with God. We, as the bride of Christ, want to please him in whatever we do. If we're talking, if we're walking, if we're shopping, whatever we're doing, we want to please him. So it's really not a sacrifice. Thank God that when we are born into his nobility, we get the advantage of his royal blood. His royal blood, as the old song said, now flows through our veins, and that makes all the difference, and I'm thankful for that. Being a noble person is about living a righteous life. It's an opportunity that every one of us has been given. We are given this chance for his qualities to show forth through us. So let's look at a few of those qualities. First of all, kind. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We should be kind to those we live with, those we live around, those we work with. Everywhere we go, we meet people. And so we're supposed to be kind to them because we're supposed to be showing them that we have a loving Savior that lives inside of us that we are trying to be like. So we are kind to everyone. And that we show through acts of service, whether it's just encouraging communication. Cards are sadly almost a thing of the past. There's texts, there's phone calls. But any way that we can reach out to another human being and encourage them, that's an act of service. A meal for a family that someone is sick, for the bereaved, saying thank you. That seems kind of trite, but not everybody does that anymore. They just take things for granted. But I'm glad that as a Christian, we can say thank you and let somebody know that we appreciate whatever it is that they have done for us. Holding doors for somebody. Smiling. Everybody smile. We don't know what a simple smile can do to encourage someone. So the bride of Christ is to be kind. Another thing that we learn that the bride of Christ needs to be is wise. Matthew 10:16 says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Being wise simply means having a deep understanding and a capacity for sound judgment. Now, granted, there are some that's born with a propensity for wisdom, while there are others that it's totally foreign to them. But that's not the end of it, because he's given us an out. The word of God tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That upbraideth means that he's not going to get angry at us. He's not going to be displeased if we ask him. He's going to be glad we ask for his wisdom, because he knows we need it. And he always covers all the bases. I love that about God. He always has the answer for us. But our example in Proverbs was wise enough to know that regardless of how truthful her words might be, if she expressed them rudely or coarsely or boisterously, they would not be well received. And the same is true for us. We need to be wise in the remarks that we say. Think before we speak. The woman in Proverbs was aware that the tone of her voice affected the environment around her. I know we've all been in situations where we've heard words. They could have been right, but they sure could have been said in a nicer way. That's being kind. That's being wise. She was tactful. She had self-control. And so must we as his bride. Verse 26 of that chapter says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. But another thing this woman in Proverbs 31 was, and that the bride of Christ should be, is industrious. She was not lazy. She is described as working willingly with her hands, preparing food for her family, making clothes from the fabric that she had just made. Now that's a new one. Oh, haven't been there. Don't want to go there. But the New Living Translation puts it this way. She suffers nothing from idleness. The bride of Christ is a worker. That's the way God planned it. We are here to do his business, since he has been taken to glory. He's put it in us to reach the world. And so we have to be actively involved in however way we can in his kingdom. He has a place for each and every one of us, and we've heard this time and time and time again, but it's still true. There is a place for everybody to do something in his kingdom. It's more than just warming the pews where you sit. There's something else he wants us to do. So we need to get involved. We want to be a willing vessel that takes pleasure in doing something for Jesus. So let me encourage you tonight, if you're not actively involved, find out what you can do. What are your gifts? God's given them to us. We just have to find out what they are and how we can use them for his kingdom. He wants us to do what we can for his kingdom. We have no excuse, really. Colossians 3 and 23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Anything that we're doing in his kingdom, it's not to show off and say, well, look at me, look what I can do, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not about us. It's about him. And so we're doing it unto him. Anything, whether it's volunteering to help Brother and Sister Chambers clean the bathrooms, sweep, vacuum the floors, whatever, this pulpit, it gets a lot of spit on it. It has to be cleaned. Poor Sister Barb. Brother Dennis. Oh, Brother Dennis, okay. A few weeks ago, someone came up to me and said, ooh, that pulpit, somebody really got anointed. Okay, well, then we went and found stuff, and that person cleaned it up. Do it heartily, whatever it is. it's being involved in his kingdom. Do your best. That's all that he requires. I can't be anybody else. He's given me the abilities that he's given me. Somebody else might have the same abilities and they can do it a lot better. But you know what? I'm not going to be judged by how I did it. I'm just going to be judged by if I did it. So that's something for us to think about. We really have no outs or no other choice. As his bride, we have to be doers and not hearers only. And who gave us this example but Jesus himself? As a child, when his parents were searching wildly for him for days, couldn't find him, where did they find him? He was in the temple. And what did he say when his mother said, "Where have you been? Didn't you know I've got to be about my father's business?" And so the bride of Christ should be always seeking to do the business of the groom. I want to hear him say, "Well done." And I'm sure you do too. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But you know what? It just always, when I hear that, I always think, you know what? God can't lie. And he's not going to say I've done well if I haven't. So I want to do well. I want to be a worker in his kingdom. And then the bride of Christ is strong. Verse 25 of that 31st chapter says, "Strength and honor are her clothing." Her clothing is a metaphor of her character. She was clothed in strength of body and strength of mind. As his people, we are strong. It's not in us. We get our strength from him. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And you know what? There again, that's something that he gives us. Because when we get the Holy Ghost, what does the word say? There's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He just gives it to us. And so we are a strong people. He doesn't leave us on his own. He's there again to provide exactly what we need. He's not going to ask us to do something that he's not going to equip us to do. Daniel 11 and 32 says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." That's us. We know him. We have a relationship with him. Every day we talk to him. We read his word. We're seeking to please him. That's us. We will do exploits. We are strong in the Lord. And then another thing that the bride of Christ needs to be is like him. While meditating one day on what a Christian should be, I came to the realization that I had a long way to go. Sister Ewing wrote a song way back that Brother Ewing used to sing. "I have a long way to go to be like the Lord. I have a long way to go to be like him. I've got to be merciful, dutiful, faithful, and true. I must be kind and just in all that I do. I have a long way to go to be like the Lord." But when we think about Jesus, we like to think of him being faithful, being there like a friend that no one else can be, being trustworthy. Christians, as his bride, we are Christ-like. So how much like him are we? He's kind. We found him to be just and full of mercy. Are we? When we're dealing with others, are we kind? Are we merciful? That's not always easy, is it? We've been given mercy, and so we have to show mercy. He's loving and compassionate. He's always ready to forgive. Are we? As his bride, we may not be the day he filled us with the Holy Ghost, but he's also long-suffering with us. And he's there every day to help us to become the bride that he is looking for. Again, he's not left us on our own. He's given us his spirit, and it's up to us to allow that spirit to work in our flesh. How does it work? Well, he's designed trials and pressures of life. They're polishing us off. They're polishing us up, making us shine so that when he comes back, he's going to have a bride that he can take with him, a pure bride, a clean bride. There's not going to be spot or wrinkle on her garment. Every day we're seeking to be clean before him. One thing about trials and pressures of life, yes, they're hard and we don't like them. But the Lord showed me this one day many years ago. I could probably take you to the spot at the old church at 13th and Gravois. It was during a prayer meeting, and the Lord just gave me a personal encouragement. I don't remember now what the situation was that I was talking to him about, but it was something that was hard. And you know how you do when you're having to go through something, you start questioning yourself, what have I done? Why am I being put through all this? That's just our flesh. We think that way. We can't help it. But the Lord showed me that day in prayer that he knows what my trials would be, and that he wouldn't put on me anything that's going to make me fall. So in other words, when I have to go through a trial, he's already designed it, and he knows, he has confidence that I'm going to make it through. We are his bride. He has confidence in his bride. Everybody say, he has confidence in me. Say it again like you really mean it. He does. He loves us. We are his chosen. We're the ones that he's chosen. We are blessed. And I'm thankful that I have that blessing tonight, that I can be called his bride. He loves us. He has chosen us individually. He is not going to put more on us than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's a promise that we can hold on to in those times of pressure, in those times of hardness. He has confidence in his bride, and his bride is far above rubies, and we are shining for his glory. So kind of in summary, we as the bride of Christ will bless our world when we show kindness to all that we meet, when we are a person of character, when we speak wisely, act wisely, when we're a doer and not a hearer only, when we are strong in him, and when we are like him. But the most important foundational aspect of the bride's character is her fear or her reverence of God. The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. One's highest calling will never be based on who you're married to or what your profession is, how nice your car is or how nice your house is, how much money you've got. That's never going to be our highest calling. Our highest calling is knowing and loving and reverencing God Almighty. You know, I find it interesting that God doesn't define people by their accomplishments. In the Bible, we see that he defines them by their relationship with him. Think of King David. How was he known? A man after God's own heart. He wasn't known by being the king of Israel, by the bad things that he did. God knew him as the man after my heart, John. He was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we are known as his bride. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. I am. And as we deepen our relationship with him, we can be assured that we will be well equipped and accomplish our calling with dignity and valor and strength. When we make our goal of loving Jesus with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, we will be praiseworthy as his beautiful bride. Amen. You are beautiful jewel for him. You are his chosen bride. God bless you.